deep breaths. Focus on your energy. Keep self aligned. Don't surrender to the enemy. Love is the answer. The devil's a lie. Go through your trials with your head to the sky. Pray often. Always give thanks. Live life freely because it's only yours to paint. Remain humble. Wear a smile. Take care of your heart. Be sure to stay wise.
That is a mantra that holds true. Welcome, everyone, to Iambic Poetry Podcast, where we talk to poets, performers, and artists of the Sacramento area. I am your host, Sharon Smith. What you heard at the beginning was done by a marvelous musician who has graced several stages and shows, from the streets of LA to the judges of American Idol. She has been a force to be reckoned with. It is my pleasure to introduce Sammy nominee songstress Erica Ambrin.
Going on. So that's like something that's been on my bucket list in Sacramento, something I really admire, just all the local artists and people they bring together for a free concert. So I was stoked on that. But the good news is that they said that they will pick me and the Eclectic Soul Project up for next year and send some dates out as soon as they get that. So, yeah. So that's something to look forward to.
Concert in the park. That'd be what's up. Yeah. But thanks for coming on to the show and stuff. And I want to start off with, let's find out your origin story. Erica, tell me about yourself.
All right. Let's see. I am from Los Angeles, California. Grew up there, back and forth with mom and dad. The only girl in my family, five brothers. Moved to Sacramento in about 2008. In LA, you know, I went to a performing arts school, kind of more of like a trade school. It was like an only year program. I did that, some street performing, some performing out in bars, beaches, and things of that sort. But I felt like I needed a different change of scenery because there was so much distractions and just family drama, and I needed to start over. I was actually going to move to Texas for music, and my brother at the time was living here, and he was like, why don't you come to SAC? I feel like you come to the other side of Cali. I feel like you'll really enjoy it here. So I moved here, went to culinary school, started doing like little open mics and stuff. Midtown All Out was actually my first open mic here. A long, long time ago when they still had Heather. And it was at a different coffee shop as well. And started singing and doing all that jazz. And ever since, just been hitting the ground running, writing and doing my thing with music, you know?
Most definitely. But since you did move here in 08, was it a culture shock?
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a culture shock. I think that I like the slowness of it. I like how beautiful it is here. All of the trees and the diversity. I think it carried a lot of things that, you know, Southern California carries, but just in a more mellow way, which I think that's what I was looking for, because I was a crazy party kid and I just wanted to figure it out, you know, in a different way. So I wouldn't necessarily say it was a culture shock. I think that it was more of a relaxing thing instead of a shock. Like I think of like something cold, somebody throwing ice water on you. I would say it was more like getting in a warm bath and just being able to just come into my own as a woman and figure out who I really was.
Okay. Think about that. So you're here in 2008, we're just doing some things in the scene and stuff. And then you went back to go do an American Idol contest. How was that?
Yeah, I did. I did do that. That was very, very cool, man. Such a blessing. And just, I don't know, gave me the little boost that I needed at the time that I was doing the right thing and I could do things at my own pace. I wasn't going to go to the audition. So they do an audition Fox 40 in Sacramento where they send an idol contestant to San Francisco because they don't come to Sacramento, but there's a lot of Sacramento talent out here. I mean, you know that you're like deep in the scene. So it was like 6 a.m. You had to go and stand in line at the news station. So I went there. There was three rounds and I ended up being the winner of that contest, which got me a silver ticket, which a silver ticket sends you past all the lines that everybody has to wait in and you go straight to the producers. Because most of these people that get by, what people don't know is they don't go straight to, you know, the celebrity judges. They have to go through the process before that. So there's sometimes four or five auditions before you even reach that point. So I got the silver ticket, went to go meet the producers, small room, about four people. I actually sang an original song, Sugar, which I know you know that song.
So give me some of that sugar. Be the sweetness in my coffee at the start of my day. And I really dig your vibe, but who wouldn't? And the music in our heart continues to play. Whoa, continues to play.
Got it passed with Sugar. And then met the judges. It was J-Lo, Harry Connick Jr., and Keith Urban. I'm sorry, I'm having a choke attack here. That's not good for radio.
Let's get it out. And when you got through that, did you get a call back to come back from the audition after that?
Yeah, so they gave me my golden ticket right then and there. And you get about 2 months before you actually go to L.A., and went to LA, huge, beautiful hotel, lots of different people, crazy rehearsal hours, crazy. I mean, I never did anything like that. So it was if anything was a shock, that was probably a shock at first. I think I let my nerves get to me a little bit. Didn't make it very far on the show. I got to the second day of Hollywood Week, in which it's a whole week thing, and I didn't even make it that far. So,
like you pointed out, it has taught you some lessons and stuff.
Absolutely. And just how to work well under pressure. And I know I get a lot of anxiety before shows. I know you know that too. And there's certain things and processes that I've learned how to do, like tools that I have for myself that I didn't necessarily have. One of those being, you know, having a little whiskey shot sometimes, you know, just to get my wheels rolling, get everything like, you know, nice and cleared out and just take that away. And I definitely wasn't taking whiskey shots in American Idol. So.
Most definitely. And from that, it's pool of the project of Sugar. Mm-hmm. From that, so tell me about Sugar. I know it's a five track album.
Yeah, so that was my first EP that I ever put out with Image Punch Entertainment, and which is funny, my bass player right now, Jason Angove, produced that whole record. So I did the guitar and the vocals on it. And he went ahead and added all the other instruments. And now he's actually playing bass with me in the Eclectic Soul Project.
Nice.
I didn't know. Shout out to Jason. I didn't know him that well then. But the guy who was managing me at the time, Elliot Presswich of Image Punch, he got us connected and was like, I trust this dude. Like, I think he'll come out with something really great. And it was really, really good for a first project, especially. But yeah, a bunch of love songs because I'm always in love, talking about love or wanting to be in love. That's just me. So,
and that was considered an R&B soul album.
Yeah, it was an EP, so a shorter version of that. It was actually to prep for The Art of Falling, which is the live album that I cut after that with the Eclectic Soul Project and I. So that led up to that. So those songs were on that album as well, but it was 11 tracks and a couple covers on that one. And we cut it live. We were playing a lot of shows back then, and I wanted to get that down. I was going to do a studio style, but I just figured it was authentic to do it live and have about 30 people come and witness it and just have some magic in there. So, yeah.
Most definitely. And now, Lucid Dreamer, that's an interesting story. Tell us about that one.
Oh, man, Lucid Dreamer, my baby. I'm still rocking with that one. So I lived in Hawaii for about 2.5 years before I moved back to SAC. And there I, you know, doing the whole finding yourself thing, was alone and single, got out of a relationship. And I had actually set out to play music there, to bartend there, which I did both of those things, and to surf and to cut a record there. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know if it was going to be just me and my guitar. I met a bunch of beautiful musicians that I respect and love so much there that I collaborated with. And right before, I didn't even know I was going to move back, but a bunch of things transpired to where I had to move back fairly quickly. And this guy who produced Lucid Dreamer hit me up and was like, hey, you've been tagged in this post. And I didn't even see the tags because I don't really go on Facebook much. And he's like, people keep dropping your name. Like, we should work together. And I was like, all right, cool. So I went and met him. He's really dope dude. And we cut one song together, a song that I had already written with my guitar. He put a beat over it, made it like a reggae kind of island style, which was really cool. And he showed me a bunch of beats that he has. And he was just so dope. I mean, I just loved a lot of his stuff. And I was like, hey, let's do a rap album instead and ask him how much he would charge. And he gave me a really good deal on the beats and the production and recording and everything. I picked 10 songs. I actually came up with the titles for the songs, which I had never done before, and concepts, and then kept myself within that realm to be able to write in that concept, and came up with Lucid Dreamer, and, you know, did that on Maui. Shout out to Vince Esquire, man, for producing that. Funny story, just to piggyback off that. He actually hit me up just recently and said he just wants to work with me again. Let's cut something else. So I picked 11 songs and I've been writing. So that's what I've been doing musically right now, is really writing another album, man.
Okay.
Yeah, with the same dude. So I have a microphone here where I am, and I'm just going to record and send everything to him. He's going to mix and master it. He gave me a really good deal. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be another more hip hop and R&B mixture, more like some songs I will only be singing rather than just singing the hook. And some songs I might only be rapping. It's going to really be, you know, on that L Boogie type vibe. You know what I'm saying?
So y'all are going to mesh it together. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you have an R&B album and you also have a rap album. It's like, I was wondering I know you also sing also in the R&B album, the rap album. But I always laugh because you do have that L Boogie vibe, but you do come out, you know, ferocious with your rhymes. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Hey, let's go. Let's go. I'm right. You know what's funny about Lucid Dreamer, too, is that I'm trying to be as collective with my thoughts as I was with that project, because I still listen to the songs today and I'm like, damn, that was such a great connection. I don't want, you know, I'm competing with myself when it comes to that, because I want it to be as good, if not better, you know. Yeah. I was writing some corny lines the other day and I was like, man, this is corny. Like, I'm forcing it. I need to just put the pen and pad down for now and come back to it later. And then I came back to it and changed it up a little bit, and it's good. So Lucid Dreamer is definitely challenging me right now with this new album I'm writing.
Most definitely. Shoot, that's what I'm talking about. So, Eclectic Soul Project. Tell me about them.
Oh, man. I mean, you are the Eclectic Soul Project. We are the Eclectic Soul Project. You know, for me, that was a concept of, I was in a band called Postmodern Horror, which I wasn't actually writing the music. I was just a singer in the band, and it was very theatrical type. I don't know, interesting vibe, but they also agreed to play with me, like some of my songs, and then I would play their material as well. And we were always out of someone. Like, we didn't have a drummer, we didn't have a bass player, we didn't have we could never have the whole band together. So we started subbing people in, and I eventually was like, you know, I want to focus on my own music, Postmodern Horror. Like, if we can't keep a solid group for that, then I'm just gonna have to do my own thing. So I came up with this concept that I play with different musicians all the time. Sometimes it might just be me with my guitar and drums, which me and my drummer Jay, shout out to Jay, we did that. That was my last gig that I did before lockdown at Oak Park Brewing Company, just me and him in the brew room, and shit slapped. And that's, I don't know, can I curse on there?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay. That is slapped, you know, and it was just guitar and drums. And that is the Eclectic Soul Project. If there's a DJ and drums, you play with Jay, you, me, and Jay. That is the Eclectic Soul Project. So me is just bringing a collective of eclectic individuals in music and in art, even poetry or whatever, and bringing us all together to create something beautiful. Because the cool thing about it is, anytime, if you see the Eclectic Soul Project as Shady Lady, it's not going to be you might hear some of the same songs, but it's not going to sound the same as the Eclectic Soul Project at Concerts in the Park, because there's a different vibe. There's a different energy. And even I look at the audience as the Eclectic Soul Project too, because they're all gathering with us together in that space to experience that magic that music is, you know? And then also that gives me the freedom to be able to be more free within my work and not have to be like, oh, you know, this drummer has two kids and two jobs. He can't always be there for the gig, you know?
True.
So I have like three drummers on hand. Even though I've been playing with the same two guys, all my gigs that I've had and everything I've had lined up, they've been the most consistent because our schedules were just the same. I got lucky. But we've had some horn. We had two horns at Shady Lady. I mean, that being in the Eclectic Soul Project and creating that vibe and that freedom has allowed me to be more smart with my music, to keep on playing and get better, because I'm playing with these amazing musicians that I can't be lazy and just write on what I already know. I have to get better, you know? So that's a beautiful thing. I feel so blessed to have so many people willing to play my music.
And you played several shows. You played also, you packed in Sac Pride last year.
Yep. We played that together.
You played in San Francisco?
Yeah, I played Dyke March in San Francisco as well.
Yes, most definitely. I was going to say that.
That was not last year, but the year before that. And then, yeah, we played.
And then the latest one you did was ABC, not on the Rushroom, but you also did ABC 10, the morning.
Oh, yeah. I got a wonderful guy, Dan the Man. I'm sure you know him. He hooks me up with a lot of really cool things and hooked me up with his girl, Shadia. Shout out to Shadia, another local artist, and just got me that plug because it's Black History Month, and got me that plug to be able to showcase that on there. Actually got a couple of gigs out of that as well that obviously got canceled now, but still, it's a thought. People are watching, you know, people are interested. It's cool.
Well, yeah, but also you've, as much as it's been a journey, I mean, you've also done Fox 40. You've also been on Cap Radio. You've also had a Sammy nomination.
I did have a Sammy nomination. I didn't win the Sammy. I had no idea that I would even be nominated. And I know there's a lot of controversy around how they choose the artists and those things. And I think, when you do the work, then you'll get the results. And however much gratitude you put into everything you're doing, that's what you get back. And I think just these last couple years, I've been so grateful just to have music as a vehicle. Even now with everything that's going on, I don't know what I would do without it. You know, being able to play it, to listen to it. I mean, that is my freedom. I was happy just to be nominated, you know?
Most definitely, but you also got your picture in the paper and stuff. So, I mean, as much as you didn't get the award, but you got a nomination, I expect you're going to get it again. I ain't going to lie. I expect you're going to get it again. If not the Sammy, you're going to get a Grammy.
Oh, let's go! Grammy! The thing, you know what? I was watching this movie, Jim and Andy, about, Andy Kaufman, and he played that whole role. And he was saying how he really just dug deep into it because that's what he needed to do to be able to portray that character. Like, he didn't care about all the awards. And then, even though that was really early in his career, and I used to really care about that stuff. And maybe 5 years ago, I would have got really sad if I didn't get it. I feel like I'm deserving, but I'm learning that you don't need that confirmation from people that you never even see, you know? It's all about the people who actually support you and listen to your music, whether that be, you know, 300 people or 3 million people, you know, those are the people that it's important to get the work out there because they resonate with, you know, your story. So I'm always very grateful with any kind of recognition, but I also just have come to a point where I'm doing the art for the people who want to hear it and for my therapy, you know?
Most definitely.
I'll be down with a Grammy, though. I mean, if it came to me, but it's not one of my life goals anymore, which it used to be when I was like, you know, a kid.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I want a Grammy. Like, that's the thing, you know? But I just want to make this music, and I want somebody to be listening, you know, even if it's one person.
Hey, we all starts with one. That's all it goes. And then 10 come out of nowhere.
That's cool.
But I always ask this question to all my guests and stuff. So in the poetry world, you got literary poets, people that write poems in the book, and then you have stage poets, or people are performers, and the ones are basically speaking their poems or their words all on stage. And there's always been a little bit of a rift between both of them. So I call it the page versus the stage. So I'm going to ask you, Erica, what do you feel more comfortable with, the page, the stage, or both?
For me, because I am a performer, and that's what gives me, what fuels me, that predominantly is going to be the stage. I feel more comfortable. I mean, once I get up there, it's like I just am myself, and it fuels me. The page, sometimes I have a hard time with. I think all artists and poets do. But I can't have the stage without the page unless I'm telling someone else's story. And I feel, you know, God put me here to tell my story. Sometimes it takes a little wiggle to get comfortable with the page. But once I get a flow going, that's something that I truly appreciate. But I would definitely say I thrive more on the stage, even off the cuff freestyle type shit.
Most definitely. And you already have what? 3 videos out or 2 videos? I know you got Paper Crown. You got also Chicken and Waffles. Is there one more video I'm missing?
No, just Paper Crown. That was my only. That was my first video. Stuff's expensive, man. I mean,
I know.
I mean, if you want to have some quality product, I mean, I can put some crap out there. But I waited so long. I'm like, I'm gonna pay for this. No, I never did a video for Chicken and Waffles. I had a concept for it, but I never ended up doing it.
I thought there is a video for it with you and Kayata.
Be lonely. It's been one hell of a week, so I'ma need a little time just to free my mind.
Just to free my mind.
Soul food and herbal refreshments in my system, so you know I'm fine.
So you know I'm fine.
And there's enough smiles to go around. Just do you look how you're glowing now.
Hey, the dream team has arrived.
Though the dream team has arrived.
Hold up.
Oh, the dream team has arrived.
Probably live.
Yeah. But I mean, y'all were in a picnic style, whatever, and stuff I'm doing out there.
Oh, no, we didn't. That was Pride, though. That was live. That was in San Francisco. That's just performance. But yeah, I plan on doing more visuals and stuff as soon as all this is, you know, done. I'm getting real comfortable with the camera, with my TikToks and shit, you know?
Nice. And then you also put out one for Tiny Desk. You sent one for Tiny Desk, so a little audition.
Yeah. We did apply to do that. That was my first time doing that. I always wanted to, but then I either missed the deadline or I just chicken out. But we went ahead and put ourselves out there, so we got that too. Shout out to, you know, Jason and Jay for being my man. I miss you guys, man. I miss you guys so much and performing.
No, I'm saying you put a lot of camera work on Jay's drumming.
that was your boy. that was Jason. He was a camera guy on that. He did all that. They got a whole vibe going. The drums and bass, they got a little love affair going on. I like a real love affair, but you know they really have a good time playing together.
Right.
I mean, come on, Jay is one of the most impeccable drummers I've ever worked with, and I've worked with a lot of drummers. Drummers are the ones that I always need, and that are somehow there's always at least one available.
Almost definitely. So, he's the most adrenaline junkie I've known. So that boy, he's all out.
Yeah, and I love that guy. That's my man. I miss him so much.
Yeah, shout out to Jay. No doubt.
Shout out Jay. Yeah, but, boy.
Coming down to the end, I always ask it to all my. Now I'm asking this because of all my. Guests are coming on. What's your top 5 rappers?
Oh shit! I didn't know you was gonna hit me with that. Let's see. Right now, I'm gonna go for Pac because I'm always been a Pac fan, and just the dynamic in his music is crazy. I'm gonna go for I really love me some Jay-Z. Still on the top of my list there. Blimes, she's a female dope rapper from the Bay Area. I listen to her a lot right now. I'm really feeling D Smoke right now. Like, just the artistry. And I'm gonna go for K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's based on who I'm listening to most right now. Who's really, like, you know, got me feeling the damn thing right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, dang. So we're coming to a close-up. Why don't you give everyone your social media where they can find you at and get some of that Erica Amber love.
Yeah, let's go. So, Erica _ Ambrin, that's Erica_AmBrin on Instagram. That's where I post most of my stuff. You can find me by my name, Erica Ambrin. Check out Lucid Dreamer. Just stream it for me. And Sugar, that's on all streaming platforms. And on May 3rd, I'm doing SAC Live, which is a huge live event of a bunch of different SAC artists that was put together by SAC Live. So hit me up on Instagram and check that out. Yeah, yeah. E-Money.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody. You heard that. It's going to be coming back on SAC Live. So SAC Live, it's going to be you and the guitar, or what you going to do?
Yeah, just me and my guitar. I didn't even plug in. I did straight acoustic outside. You hear the birds chirping and shit. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Even better. All right. No doubt. So, everyone, y'all take care. Thank you, Erica, for coming out and stuff. And we're going to be back. I'm going to give you all the information at the bottom. Hit subscribe and submit and comment on all our stuff. All right. Take care. Peace.
Peace.
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine. IAMBICZINE. Thank you.